Hello and welcome back to the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast, where it is Stat Nerd Thursday. That means I'm Matt Harmon. I guess I'm Matt Harmon every day of the week, not just Stat Nerd Thursday. But it does mean that I'm joined by my good buddy Dalton Del Don. We have plenty of good stats to dig into this week. But before we get into the fun, first, we have some pre-show business to take care of. By now, you've probably heard us talk about how valuable Yahoo Fantasy Plus is for your fantasy football team, which means you've tried it out for yourself with great success, or you just don't like winning, which is weird. I thought you were people were in this to win. So what are you doing with yourself? If you do, in fact, like to win and you still haven't tested out Yahoo Fantasy Plus, come on, what are you waiting for? With league-specific tools to help you navigate the treacherous trade waters and give you waiver wire advice, it can literally only help your squad. Try it out for free at yahoofantasyfootball.com/plus. And we'll also get you access to Andy Barron's weekly fantasy newsletter. That thing is hot fire. You definitely want to make sure you're checking that out. With that over and done with, let's first get into some news. But before I ask about the news, Dalton, how you doing, man?
Doing well. Fantasy baseball season officially over. My 49ers are in a bit of chaos. Urban Meyer. I know we got a lot to talk about, Matt. We got a lot to talk about.
Urban Meyer, man. I mean, we talk a lot about, you know, over-unders, line spreads, props. Like, Urban is hitting the under on the chaos prop pretty hard here, man. What is he going to make? Do you think he's going to make it to the end of the season?
I do not. No, it's not great what's going on over there. I can't. Yeah, no, I do not. It's wild. The it'd be too long to list the amount of things that have happened so far. But this latest one, and then his apology. I think he's even brought up Trevor Lawrence's bachelor party in his apology.
Yeah,
I don't know, man. Urban Meyer. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, no kidding. Two things. I love there's been a lot of like resurfacing of old Urban Meyer stuff this week. Number one, it has been funny to watch. Like, I saw Chuck Pagano on Pat McAfee's show. Like, I have been in the NFL for like a huge ton of years. I've never heard of a head coach like staying behind.
Yeah.
Not to go back with it. He's like, I've never heard of that ever in my entire life. The second thing was there was a segment, I think, from ESPN in 2019 when on First Take when the host of the show, she brought up that Urban Meyer was not just going to become like athletic director at Ohio State, but he was going to teach a class on character. And the entire set of guys burst into laughter, which I thought was very appropriate, given what's
yeah, just a disaster, man. I know, just crazy. Yeah, maybe USC's next coach, maybe I don't know, but yeah, it hasn't.
I mean, it feels like a thousand years ago when we were already making jokes about that when he gave that like shuffling, like looking, not making eye contact, like no, I'm not, I'm committed to this team or whatever. And now we're here. I mean, geez, what a mess. Yeah. I mean, I would think this whole thing was funny if I wasn't worried that it was going to screw up Trevor Lawrence. But it doesn't sound like he's going to be there very long, so I guess we don't have to worry about that. We'll see what happens over the next few months with this guy. All right, couple of defensive moves to discuss here, just right off the top. Obviously, they're not super hardcore fantasy relevant, but I do think they're going to move the needle here, at least for one team for sure. The Panthers trade for cornerback Stephon Gilmore and the Cowboys release Jalen Smith. I mean, not too much to say on the Jalen Smith thing, even though it's kind of I guess it's an unfortunate fall for a guy who has a great story coming into the NFL and had some good years with Dallas and, you know, had potentially been like a team leader. The Gilmore thing is interesting just because, you know, the Patriots kind of floated that they were going to release the guy. They end up only getting, quote, only getting a sixth round pick from the Panthers, which was one of the spots that people had already started to connect the dots to. But I love the move from Carolina's side because it just shows that they're an aggressive front office that will leave no stone unturned to get better. They already made an in-season cornerback trade with the Jacksonville Jaguars for C.J. Henderson, but they're just continuing to bolster that spot with J.C. Horn, their star rookie, out for a long stretch.
Yeah, a little wild that they got more for Sony Michel, but CJ Anderson, JC Horn once Horn comes back, and now Gilmore, yeah, who apparently, by the way, was not hurt at all. I don't think it was just 100% a contract deal, and his quad is fine. So yeah, good for Carolina going all in if you can afford this, and that defense looks absolutely loaded.
Yeah, and Dante Jackson's a pretty good player too. I mean, he's been up and down at different points in his career, but Matt Rhule made sure to say that like he's one of our best players, and this doesn't say anything about him. I mean, you know, obviously coaches are going to say that, but it does. You know, it'll be interesting to see how they use Stephon Gilmore, who's like a hardcore man corner. They've played a pretty decent amount of zone so far through Phil Snow's first 2 years there. But I mean, JC Horn was a pretty big press man corner, and he was integrating well into that defense too. So we will see how that that whole thing plays out. More fantasy relevant news. Matt Nagy finally leaves the land of make believe. Okay, Dalton, do you think he truly came to the recognition that, okay, I'm just going to start Justin Fields the rest of the way, after saying on Monday that Andy Dalton was still the starter when healthy? Obviously, we're recording this on Wednesday. I think it was around 10 a.m. West Coast time that he named Matt Nagy named Justin Fields the starter the rest of the way. Do you think he came to that conclusion sometime in the next 2 days, or do you think somebody from on high was like, hey, Matt, you're barely hanging on as it is. Frickin' start Justin Fields. Enough of this.
I don't know what happened. I got the notification on my phone saying Andy Dalton is healthy, and I'm like, horrible, because I just assumed that meant I lost Fields from a couple Superflex teams. But no, then there was sanity prevailed, and maybe it was higher ups, but for whatever the reason, Fields on the field makes total sense from a Bears standpoint, and obviously fantasy-wise. I mean, he hasn't even started running up his capability, but to see those passes downfield to Mooney, giddy up, man. It's time. Hopefully Trey Lance too. I mean, Lance and Fields, let's go.
Yes. I'm going to incorporate Lance into this discussion in just a second, but on Justin Fields, you mentioned it. He hasn't even really shown that rushing upside yet from like a rest of
Bill
season
Lazor.
Perspective.
Sorry, I buried the lead too. Bill Lazor's play calling, yes, a million times better. The amount of the point differential when he's called plays versus, yeah, Nagy is just night and day over the past, but sorry to interrupt you, but that should be the headline there. Lazor too is play calling a big difference too. Another encouraging thing for Fields moving forward is Nagy now completely out of the way. They got him out of the way to get him on the field, and now even with the play calling, so all, you know, wheels up.
Some of these guys just can't handle both. Like, they can't handle the game management and the play calling thing, you know?
Shanahan.
And I mean, maybe. Some of these guys are best served as offensive coordinators or just head coaches. Some of them are, but Matt Nagy might be best served as neither, but I mean, the doing both at once is a challenge. I think I just wish Nagy wasn't so defensive. I mean, I guess I don't really care how Matt Nagy reacts to things. Like, why does it bother me? But the fact that on Sunday he was so like defensive over, I'm not answering questions about play calling ever again, when it's like, oh, you have your best like offensive game when you give up the play. I mean, it just is what it is. It's ridiculous. But so, rest of season perspective, where would you rank like Justin Fields? Is he a clear-cut QB1 or more high-end QB2 in Superflex?
Oh, man. No, more high-end QB2 in Superflex, because their quarterback position is so loaded, and, you know, yeah, there's still a Bears team that's never had a 4,000-yard passer. It's not like the greatest environment, you know, outdoors.
No,
there.
But
he does have some good receivers, and he can run, though, so I would not be shocked if he's a top 12 fantasy QB moving forward. But I think the safer projection is more like in the 15 to 18 range. But maybe I'm off. I mean, maybe I should be more bullish. What do you think? I mean, he's fast.
Yes, yes. And he's more of a, they haven't really incorporated any of the read option stuff with him yet. I would just say, though, I think he's more valuable as like a straight up scrambler. I think the couple times that they have tried to incorporate the read option stuff with him, he's still a step slow in deciding, like, I'm going to be the one to pull this ball, to the point that, like, okay, the defensive end shows he's crashing on the running back, but he's still, because it's not quite there, he still has enough time to catch up to Justin Fields, who's fast, but he's not like Lamar Jackson fast, you know? So I think more of his value will come. And this is why I think it's good news overall, even if from a volume perspective, we're not going to get there with the Bears offense. Like, I'm sure they would throw more passes with Andy Dalton under center, but I'm also sure that they will sustain more drives with Justin Fields under center, because he can scramble for that, like, you know, third and six, or, you know, get him closer to third and manageable when they're second and long, stuff like that with his legs. Just pick up more first downs in general. Like, I think that's a huge thing that we don't, it's hard to project that as a optimistic thing, because we're just so hyper focused on volume and targets and rush attempts for players. But I do think that that stuff matters a lot. And I think mobile quarterbacks, I think the same could probably be said for Trey Lance in San Francisco, if and when he's fully the starter there, which we don't know at this time. But staying in Chicago, just real quick, obviously we know David Montgomery is going to be out for a while. Damian Williams is a hot waiver wire pickup. On the receivers, what about Allen Robinson, man? I mean, obviously, I love Allen Robinson. There's almost no way that he's going to get to like his usual volume totals, which are like 150 targets, you know, 90 plus catches, set it and forget it. That's probably not happening this year, but I still think that Fields is the guy you want under center over Andy Dalton. Sure, Dalton could throw him 150 little dink and dunk passes, but I still think Fields is going to unlock the ceiling of this offense. It's not a high ceiling, but the higher ceiling than Andy Dalton will.
Agree with you. Fields is still better. It's been too small of a sample to worry about the Mooney love, which he's definitely dominated the targets with Fields so far, but it's a super small sample. And, you know, all those clear routes maybe help A-Rob. Don't forget, this team also just lost its feature back, too. Damian will be a fine, you know, replacement, but Damian Williams. But, you know, Montgomery was kind of treated as like a workhorse there in Chicago. So
he was,
Allen Robinson is, I'm looking at his ECR in Fantasy Pros, is expert consensus rank is a wide receiver 35. I mean, that's crazy for a guy that was going, what, 10th or 11th, you know, a month ago. But it's been disappointing. But I'm with you as far as Fields is still the better guy you'd want moving forward, the more upside with downfield throws. But it has been highly discouraging so far for Allen Robinson.
I know, yeah. I mean, you definitely have to adjust expectations then from where he was going in drafts. It's similar to a lot of guys that were going that high. I mean, we're going to talk about DeAndre Hopkins later. You know, I think you have to adjust expectations for where you drafted Hopkins to where he's going to be the rest of the year. But I still think Robinson will, the better days are ahead for him. You also have to remember, like, Fields and Robinson have probably, you know, thrown and caught so few passes together at this point. Because they were so pressed on Andy Dalton being the guy that Fields was never even really given a chance to, at least for Trey Lance. Like, he's worked with the first team guys because they gave him a little bit of prep in the offseason with the first team. They let him take some first team reps in training camp just on the off chance he ever became a starter, which that off chance might be now. So, I think that long term, you still Mooney too. I think Mooney gets a bump like from Justin Fields being in there. I think Allen Robinson gets a bump from being in there. I never bought that they were going to go back to Andy Dalton, but if like you definitely have to bump up a guy like Robinson if you were expecting Dalton to be back there, because this is just a better situation. On your 49ers, real quick, Trey Lance, it's not set in stone yet that he's going to start this week, but Garoppolo didn't practice on Wednesday. Kyle Shanahan's not ready to rule him out. Where are you at with this whole quarterback thing in San Francisco? I can't not talk about the Niners on a podcast with you, Dalton. I'm sorry to the people out there, but I just can't. I know I'm sick of talking about the Niners because I hate them now, but
I do think it's worth talking about because Lance, I have him ranked as my number 10 QB this week if he's the starter. Just to look at the rushing upside, and he actually leads the most fantasy points per dropback this year. It helps that he's come in goal line situations, of course, and he obviously looked very raw last week. But, I mean, they were unprepared for him. Yes, he got some work in training camp, but not lately, not starter reps, you know, the past few weeks, you know, once regular season started. With the weapons, there's just so much better of an environment than Chicago. I'm not saying Trey Lance is definitely better than Fields. In fact, before the season, I might have said the opposite. So, but I think the situation's so much better with the playmakers and the Shanahan play calling, just the environments too, you know, not the weather and whatnot. So this week against Arizona, Diaz played really, really good against the pass, admittedly. But Lance, in a high-paced game, high-scoring, I think immediately he's a QB1 if he gets the call. But I have no feel on what Shanahan's going to do. Tomorrow it may be new. They're waiting one more day to see Garoppolo's calf injury. I don't know if it's gamesmanship to make the Cardinals prepare for two totally different type of quarterbacks. And Lance is getting the starter reps. But, you know, as bad as Lance looked at some of those throws last week, the running lanes just parted immediately for Sermon right away. I mean, the whole field, the actual throws outside the numbers, the running lanes. Yes. It's just so much different out there when Lance enters the game, even a raw Lance. So I'm excited to see what he can do, especially with the 49ers defense not looking nearly as good as expected. Let's get Lance and see what he can do and move forward. And I love Jimmy G, and it is frustrating for him, but you know, let's see what the kid can do.
Yeah, I mean, let's let him get out there and make mistakes and like figure it out on the fly. Like, yeah, no doubt he looked like a guy that was dropped behind enemy lines and asked to shoot his way out of a problem back there. But I mean, that's how he's gonna learn how the NFL works. I mean, he's like hasn't played football since he was like 19 years old, you know, and barely threw passes back then. So I'm not surprised he looks raw as a passer, but how is he ever going to get better just watching Jimmy throw freaking slants in the middle of the field? Like, you're right. Even though he looked frenetic, even though he looked jittery out there, he still is going to open things up more from an offensive perspective. I've said from week one, I've said it till week four, they're not going to win with Jimmy's style of offense. We said this on the pod a couple weeks ago, or at least I said that, and like that's how I felt about it. It just is not sustainable over the long term. Like, it's going to be absolutely different. It's going to be different with Trey Lance out there, but you're, the way he's going to open up the run game, the way he's actually going to be able to throw outside the numbers, it's just going to be very, very different. So
He also lost Trent Williams and his center, Alex Mack, mid-game last week. So, I mean, he lost his star left tackle and center coming in, too, without any plays at all designed for him. And now this week will be presumably different with, you know, even some designed runs even for him, too. And he put up 20 fantasy points in one half, too.
I know, right? So, I mean, that's the thing. He put up 20 fantasy points in one half when he wasn't even expected to be out there. I wouldn't be surprised too. Like, watching the Cardinals over the last, like, you know, 3 weeks or whatever, that he was basically like, I mean, the Cardinals basically, they're an aggressive defense that really struggles with their run fit sometime. I wouldn't be surprised if Trey Lance rushes for like 80 yards and if he starts this game because of the way the Cardinals play defense. So that is that.
I gave him 75 in my fearless forecast. Sorry, I think I gave him 75 rush yards. So we're right. Right there. But man, Shanahan, do the right thing. Do the right thing, Shanahan. Come on.
Yeah, for once, Kyle, do the right damn thing. But I'm taking a moment away from talking about Kyle Shanahan because I'm not in a good mood with Kyle Shanahan. But update on our update on something we just were talking about. It seems like the Packers are in fact the likely landing spot for Jalen Smith. They are finalizing details. We just talked about Jalen Smith, so we'll see how he fits in that defense that struggles to do a lot of things. So
may have lost Jair Alexander too. He might be missing a few weeks, too, so that would obviously be a massive blow. If you haven't seen it, there's a picture going around Twitter with Jalen Smith diving, and he's about 15 yards away from the ball he's attempting to stop. But, yeah, check that out.
Nah, how dare you, man. I mean, that's so tough. But, yeah, you're right. I think I haven't seen it, but I'm going to go check that out. Three little injury roundup notes here before we jump into the stats. Peyton Barber going to miss a few weeks with a turf toe. That's a bummer. Josh Jacobs did not look that good in his return to action against the Chargers, which is unfortunate because Peyton Barber looked pretty good when he got action there. But hopefully Jacobs can get healthy because I think there is some, I don't know, I was pretty interested in Jake. God, the guy's just, Jacobs just always hurt. Never looking 100%. It's a tough scene there. Will Fuller is going to be out for a while with the broken finger. He's being placed on IR. Will Fuller wasn't doing anything anyway, so I don't know that it changes your projections for the Dolphins offense. Tony Jones out 3 to 4 weeks with an ankle. Maybe this makes them a Marlon Mack trade destination because they don't really have a number two banger there. Any of those, and also, well, I'll save that one, but any of those three kind of pique your interest at all?
It actually is a bummer that Barber got hurt because I think they were going to rest Jacobs and just make Barber the feature back on a team that's throwing the ball like crazy, you know, moving the ball like crazy. Because Kenyon Drake was a bad signing. The only other comment I have here is I actually sneakily kind of like talked me out of this, but don't hate Miami receivers Parker and Waddle this week. I know it's Brissett throwing to him, but Tampa Bay by far the number one pass funnel defense. You cannot run the ball at all against them. And no Will Fuller, and both the Tampa Bay's top corners are out for this game. So sneakily kind of like Parker and Waddle.
Yeah, no, I think so too. And I mean, Waddle has been getting the targets, but they've just been such short ADOT targets. He's going to rip a big play at some point. I think that's kind of a sneaky call because Parker's been getting air yard volume. But I mean, overall, like, I think Waddle's a better player. Waddle's a guy I'm pretty bullish on the rest of the season. I think he's got a reasonably safe floor and he's going to rip up. Like I said, he's going to rip a big play at some point. He's just got too much juice. The fact that he's been getting the volume, this could be the matchup. That's a pretty sneaky call by you, Dalton. I like that one. Last thing here, AJ Brown is back at practice. It feels like there was a full on like freak out about AJ Brown, you know, 2 weeks ago, and then he gets hurt and we kind of forget about him for a little bit. Where are you at with AJ Brown, man? I still really think he can have a monster season once he gets back in there.
It's just health. Yeah. I mean, you're firing him up every week he's out there. And especially with the hobbled Julio Jones, doesn't look like he's coming back anytime soon. So, you're starting Brown when healthy. Sad the Nick Westbrook Keeney hype did not live up to it. And I will say this is a buzzkill. This is a buzzkill for Josh Reynolds, whom I eyed as a real minimum DFS play this week because he quietly was top 10 in air yards last week. But they did throw the ball a ton. I think they had 100 snaps, though. But not if A.J. Brown returns. Not if A.J. Brown returns. But hopefully he can stay healthy, man. It's just health with him. He's going to be banged up, it looks like, perpetually his whole career. But he's just going to be a physical player who produces whenever he's out there, even at 80%. So I think this is just going to be what it is with him moving forward.
Yeah, I still think he's a wide receiver one, though, right? I mean, I still think he is a top player at the position. Yep.
He's that good.
All right, good. Yeah. Then we're on the same page there. I mean, he's just like the drops in week two is the last thing that people have in their mind. I don't really care about that. I think he could easily go out there and ball this week. our producer, John, just sent me the picture you're talking about with Jalen Smith. Oh, Jesus.
That's pretty good.
That is a tough scene. That is a tough scene for our guy, Jalen Smith, new Packers linebacker, Jalen Smith. All right. Let's move into the stats that we've got this week. I want to talk about the Ravens offense a little bit, Dalton, because I don't think this point is being driven home enough. Right now, the Ravens are the 10th best offense in DVOA. We always expect them to be an efficient offense, but they're not quite doing it in the way that they usually do it, the way we usually expect of the Ravens. Right now, Lamar is throwing deep. He's throwing 20-plus yards on 19% of his throws. That's the highest rate among starters. In his breakout season, he was outside the top 20 quarterbacks in this metric. The Ravens also aren't, like, super – they aren't, like, overly run-heavy like they used to be. You know, we're used to expecting them. They're actually fifth right now in run play percentage in neutral situations, fourth overall. This is pretty different than they're still fifth in neutral situation run pace, but like some of that is Lamar Jackson and just in general, like it seems like everything is on Lamar's shoulders and they're kind of like okay with that because my theory is that because Lamar is so explosive as a rusher right now and because he's been so effective as a vertical passer when Hollywood Brown catches the ball, that they're okay with like not having their most twitched up back in Tyson Williams. They're okay with not having him back there. And they're just like, all right, let's throw these dusty veterans who won't like fumble and blow pass protection. Cause like Lamar's got this thing. Does that make any sense to you?
I think he has a strong argument as a fantasy QB one moving forward. He's balling, got 8.5 YPA in Denver last week. His yardage total would be much higher if not for the drops. Even last year, I saw a compilation before the season of he quietly suffered from a ton of drops last year too, but he runs more than any other QB. They're now getting back Bateman. Brown looks good. Watkins has been a nice addition. They don't trust their running backs at all. Latavius Murray has emerged as a flex option for fantasy, but he doesn't catch the ball. He's going to, you know, at the goal line, Lamar's the guy. So Lamar Jackson, man, he looks great in real life. Best season yet even. I mean, he looks fantastic. He's getting more and more proficient. And as you said, that's included downfield throws. So he looks awesome. And from a fantasy perspective, it looks, he's going to be fun to have on your team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, he's still on pace to run for 1,000 yards, despite the fact that they're throwing at a higher rate, despite the fact that he's throwing downfield more, he's still on pace to be a 1,000-yard rusher. I mean, he really is like a fantasy cheat code. And I think that Bateman and Brown are both kind of, I mean, Brown has proven himself, I think, at this point to be sort of like a top 40 receiver in fantasy the rest of the way. I know he's way higher than that right now, but I mean, I think Bateman coming back is a big deal. I think Bateman's a guy that really completes this passing offense. I've said this basically since he was drafted, but even still the first few weeks, like you don't want Sammy Watkins to be your number two receiver. I agree with you. It was a great addition. And like the fact that they've gone from freaking Dez Bryant, Marquise Brown, and like Devin Duvernay or Willie Snead to like potentially Rashad Bateman, Marquise Brown, and Sammy Watkins, that's a big deal. I still think Bateman's a guy that when he comes in here, I would not be surprised if he is immediately like given playing time because he's a pro level route runner, because he can be the guy in that intermediate area that neither, because Hollywood Brown is making it all on like efficient vertical plays right now in fantasy. And, you know, Watkins is just more of like a stretch the field crossing guy. So I think Bateman still is like if he's out there in leagues or he, you know, is on an IR spot, I would get very excited about him.
He should be stashed for sure. 8.7 YPA means he's been unlucky with just 4 touchdown passes. Lamar, all 3 of the 4 games have come on the road. The TDs will come in bunches. Yeah, Bateman back. And yeah, no, I mean, Jackson looks fantastic.
Someone whose fantasy box score does not look so fantastic is DeAndre Hopkins. And I kind of think there is reason to be nervous about this one. So in 2019, DeAndre Hopkins' target share was 26% and his air yard share was 32%. In 2020, it's at 19% and 27% for target and air yard share. That's a pretty decent drop year over year. And it makes sense, right? Because now they've got AJ Green. Like, say what you want about AJ Green, but he's played really well for the Cardinals. And I don't think he looks like he looked pretty bad in Cincinnati last year. He does not look bad this year. I think he looks good. Like, and he's been given opportunities and producing with those opportunities. And like, Rondale Moore has had his moments, and Christian Kirk is having a really good season as a slot receiver. They have, and they're getting like Max Williams involved and Chase Edmonds out of the backfield. And the reason that I worry that this is going to stay the way it is, I mean, Hopkins might get up to like 21 or 22%, but 26% plus feels out of the range of outcomes, because the reason I think this is it might continue is because Kyler Murray is responding. He's playing well. He's like the most accurate quarterback in the league through the first 5 weeks in terms from like a catchable pass perspective. He's right up there near the top of the league. He's at the top of the league in completion percentage over expectation. So Murray's playing well and the Cardinals are winning. So there's no real incentive to change up the target distribution here. Does this have you concerned about Hopkins' rest of season outlook?
Definitely concerned. I think he's more top 20 fantasy wideout moving forward than top 5 or 6 like he was drafted. It's possible this slow couple weeks.
Top 20, Dalton, that's a huge drop.
Yeah, it is a concern then. Yes, I do think that is that drop. It's possible that it's the quiet 2 games have come just because of his injured ribs. But you mentioned all the it's more of the target issue. He entered last week 4th in targets on his own team on the season, even after getting 7 last week. He's barely top 50 in my Whopper stat. So you said it. There's all these other options there. And it's really discouraging when you're like, oh, and Kyler Murray's playing like the MVP, throwing for 320 yards a game, and he's still doing this, underperforming. So it is a long-term concern for me with all the other weapons there. And Hopkins has a rib injury. He's 30 years old. I mean, he's absolutely past his prime for a wide receiver. So, I think he's more like top 20-ish than top 5 moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, top 5, like, that feels like forget it. I could still see him finishing because the touchdowns will come. You know, I think the touchdowns will come. The big, like, target totals, I feel like, again, those are probably gone. I don't think that's going to come back. But
even then, he had 160 targets last year and he had 6 touchdowns in this offense. So I don't know, man, if they even use him in the red zone that much like they do the others. So it'll be better for sure.
They have bowling ball James Conner. We're going to talk about James Conner in a minute. They got James Conner scoring touchdowns. Like, we know that Kyler Murray is like the most lethal player in the red zone. So you might be right. He might be still like a 5-6 touchdown guy, which would be hugely concerning.
And yeah, you said AJ Green's playing far better than I expected, even Max Williams getting involved. So, he'll be fine. You're going to start him every week. But I do think there's legitimate concerns when you look at his volume.
Yeah, I think he was, you know, coming into the year, my tier 3 of receivers was like receiver 13 to 23-ish. I could see him being somewhere in between there, whereas I definitely used to have him as like wide receiver 4 or 5, 6. I feel good that I bumped him down a little in my last round of rankings before the year, but that was still like down to wide receiver 7, you know, and even that looks like that's going to be tough to get to.
So I'm sure, believe me, I've got plenty wrong this year. Believe me, I have. But the one I got, I just specifically remember getting a lot of a hard time in my column. My NFC preview, I said that Terry McLaurin finishes with more fantasy value than Hopkins. I think I ranked him ahead of him. So your boy, Scary Terry, how good has he looked, man? I mean, you got to be really, really excited, man.
Superstar. I love that we've got like Dan Orlovsky out there tweeting about like people need to know about Terry McLaurin. I'm like, hey, if you follow me, you know about Terry McLaurin, man. I mean, this guy, he is legitimately one of the 10 best receivers in football right now. Like, you can't convince me otherwise. I know a receiver is crowded. And I actually, if I sat down and tried to rank the top 10 real life receivers, I'd probably actually retract what I just said, because there's so many good players in the position. But I mean, he is that good. Absurd deep route connection with Taylor Heinicke last week. I know some of that was like a prayer ball from Taylor Heinicke and all that stuff, but I mean, guy just makes it happen, man. He's very good to elite at everything at the position: route running, contested catchability, explosiveness, smarts. I mean, he's got it all, man. He is a superstar. He's a superstar receiver who I think will find his way into the top 10 players at the position rest of season.
No, you love to see the way he's being used finally correctly. So, yeah. And then you're discouraged here with Hopkins. But better days will be ahead, to be clear. And the rib injury will, you know, he'll get the further removed he is from that. But it's just definitely something to note that the way the Cardinals have mixed that route tree up this year for sure.
After this conversation, as we're talking, I'm going to go ahead and make sure I have that Terry McLaurin over DeAndre Hopkins in my rest of season rankings, just so I know. All right, cool. Let's move on to some running backs here. For the next two stats, I just put like big lists together, and there's a couple guys I just want to get your thoughts on. And we can just jump around it before we do the Thursday Night Football preview. Running backs averaging at least, these are the running backs that are averaging at least one goal line look per game. I'm going to go from most to least here. Jonathan Taylor, Ezekiel Elliott, Aaron Jones, James Conner, Zach Moss, Daryl Henderson, Mark Ingram, DeAndre Swift, Derrick Henry, Malcolm Brown, Nick Chubb. And obviously goal line look is rush attempts and targets that inside the 5 yard line. That's why a guy like DeAndre Swift pops up here. I don't know that we need to talk about Zeke, Aaron Jones, even Jonathan Taylor. Like Jonathan Taylor is going to have to make it happen on touchdowns, right? Like that's how he's going to have to make his fantasy value. Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. Like I don't know that we need to talk about those guys, but anyone else on this list stand out to you as surprising or interesting to talk about?
Just Connor taking over that. Kenyon Drake quietly got a ton of carries inside the five last year, and Arizona just keeps producing there, but I don't know what you can do with it. If Connor got injured, Edmonds seriously have top five fantasy upside. Daryl Henderson's getting treated like a true workhorse.
But don't you think too, Dalton, that the inverse could be true? That if Chase Edmonds, who's a smaller guy, if Chase Edmonds was to ever get hurt, I think James Connor would be like a top 20 back. Because
that's fair. He used to catch the ball too. I have zero faith in him staying healthy, but absolutely.
Yeah,
that is true. That is totally true. If Edmonds went down, Connor would be a RB2 at minimum. Yeah. No, you're right. He could catch the ball too. I like how Daryl Henderson's
he's a guy who might get like what? James Connor might get like 10 touchdowns, but like 500 yards or something like that this year. He's somebody I would want to have on my roster. I don't have nearly enough of him on my rosters, but just because there's, you know, like what the heck flex touchdown value, but also like does have he's like what I wanted AJ Dillon to be this year. Where like he has some carry upside, some touchdown upside in a great offense, and he has like some standalone value with monster upside. So I don't know. James Conner, it was the most appealing name on this list, but go ahead with Daryl Henderson.
Well, first of all, speaking of which, Aaron Jones is number three on this list. Where is AJ Dillon, the beast, Derrick Henry around there? Yeah, Jones is still getting the opportunities
garbage
there.
Time.
So that's right, just Henderson. It's great to see he's just treated as a, even with damaged ribs, just a true feature back out there, and Sony Michel's nothing more than just, you know, a stash if an injury occurs, and we'll talk more about that in the DFS game. But man, Henderson is like quietly a fantasy monster, you know, lingering there if he can stay healthy.
Yeah, we can save the Henderson part for the Thursday night preview, because he is like one of the most interesting players right now. Zach Moss is also interesting to me. Do you think they've kind of clearly settled on, like, it was weird. Zach Moss was a week one healthy scratch. Everybody took their Devin Singletary victory laps, and like the tide has completely started to shift once again to Zach Moss being the guy, and like they're using him around the goal line. That was kind of the biggest fear with all these Buffalo backs, is that, you know, Josh Allen's just going to eat all the goal line touchdowns. And obviously Josh Allen's going to get his around that area too. But like Zach Moss has quietly emerged as, it's a little tough because the Bills have been, their point differential and like defensive DVOA are, if you look at those two stats, are just like absurdly higher than everybody else. I mean, they've had the benefit of not just smoking two bad teams the last 2 weeks, but literally blowing them out. I mean, they've pitched a shutout in two straight weeks, man. It's insane. So some of that could be the reason Zach Moss looks so good right now. But do you think there's any sustainability to him as like a high upside RB3?
I do think there is that, because he's getting the high value touches over Singletary. And 2 weeks ago, both of his touchdown runs were like, were eye openers. I mean, they were impressive. It was physical down there. And I think he's clearly the goal line guy. Of course, yes, the Allen problem remains. But more with Singletary still there, there's not a ton of upside for more. But I think Moss is definitely a flex option, given the rest of his situation and the fact he's getting the high value touches. But yeah, that their DVOA defense number one. Interesting, that Sunday night game, Kansas City's DVOA defense last in the league.
Yeah.
So what a matchup. Yet still though, you're going to bet against Mahomes, you know? I mean, that game, literally, what's the over-under in that one, man? It's got to be, I bet you,
it's
that game's going to get into
half.
The 60s. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 56 and a half. That's good. That is going to be a fun one for sure. Only one else that kind of stands out here is like DeAndre Swift. I don't know, man. I'm still like, people really, really like DeAndre Swift. And I get it. I love the fact that he's a pass catcher. But even going into this past week, you know, Dan Campbell's like, we're going to rock up DeAndre Swift with a bunch of touches. And like, he doesn't even get the first few looks of the game. You know, I mean, I don't know. He just feels like a floor play right now and not a ceiling guy.
Yeah, PPR is getting it done just because of the catches, but that was annoying that Campbell say that and then turn around and make Williams the guy. But yeah, I still like Swift, but it's not the greatest situation for sure.
At least he's getting some targets inside the 5-yard line. Like, that's nice to see, and that's how he finds himself on this list. But yeah, I don't know. I still think he's more of a floor guy than a ceiling guy. All right, let's move on to wide receivers. There's a few I want to talk about here. These are the wide receivers with 40%+ of their team's air yards. Again, I'm going from most to least here. Brandon Cooks, DK Metcalf, Calvin Ridley, Odell Beckham, Tyreek Hill, DeVonta Smith, Terry McLaurin, Justin Jefferson, Jamar Chase, Michael Pittman, Devontae Parker, and Stephon Diggs. I bolded the guys on the list here that I think are the most potential buy lows. I think Diggs is a buy low too. I mean, he's like what, wide receiver 24 and half PPR. Like, he's definitely, I mean, he's going to have his eruption game at some point, and it could easily be against this defense on Sunday night. Like, that is last ranked in the league, is just getting wrecked by everybody. Like, if you're trying to trade for Stephon Diggs, you better go ahead and do it this week. Like, you better do that before Sunday Night Football, because I think he's going to have his eruption game then. But either Diggs or any of the others that I have bolded, or any of the ones that I don't have bolded on this list that you want to hit on here.
Calvin Ridley, I think I saw a stat, he's the second most expected fantasy points in PPR. So I think he's still fine. Maybe not as bullish as I was before the season as a number two or number three, but I'm still ranking him as a top 10 guy moving forward. Him and Pitts,
same.
Better days are ahead. Beckham, I mean, all those unrealized air yards. I mean, if Mayfield can hit the guy wide open downfield, things would be different. I'm still, you know, confident, relatively confident in Beckham. But man, the lack of chemistry there is ongoing. Pittman, man,
you say
Pittman.
You say chemistry, and I'm sorry to jump in here, but it's like, that's got nothing to do with chemistry.
Yeah,
it's like,
I know, I don't even like using those silly terms, anecdotal either. Sorry, but I mean, so what is the issue there? What is it then? I mean, he just can't
Baker
throw the ball downfield.
Baker just isn't good sometimes.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Baker all just right. isn't good sometimes. I mean, I think like that's his, this whole like chemistry thing is a little silly to me, because like, you know, Liz and I talked about this on Sunday night, and watching Baker just a little bit in that game on Sunday, and then definitely rewatching it, I'm like, that's got nothing to do with chemistry. That's just like, Baker, be better. I mean, he completed like what, 15
totally,
of 33 passes
fair.
In this game. Like, he did not, he is, I still think he is. I have always compared him to Kirk Cousins, which like when they were making a playoff run last year and I was writing that article for the website, Browns fans were pissed about, but like, I think he's Kirk Cousins, man. I think he's like, he can be extremely productive, can be extremely efficient in a good offensive environment, but he's still a streaky quarterback. Kirk Cousins is playing really well right now, but everybody in the universe knows Kirk Cousins is a streaky quarterback. So he's going to have, like, Mayfield's going to have those games, and those are going to trickle down to Beckham. Like, the reality of it, whether it's chemistry or Baker just not playing well, I think the reality of the situation is, yeah, there's always going to be some risk that Beckham's going to be like wide the F open, and Mayfield's not going to get it to him.
No, appreciate calling me out on the chemistry. That was a poor way of criticizing them. You're right. I mean, throw the ball and just get it there, Mayfield, for sure. McLaurin, I want to bring it back here because I just noticed this. He's tied for second in the league in end zone targets, Terry McLaurin. So absolutely love that. Mike Williams, number one by himself in end zone targets. And another guy on this list, DK Metcalf, only two so far this year. And normally he's among the leader, you know, leading that category. So a couple other guys. Just Pittman, we talked about him last week. The touchdowns remain elusive, yeah. But you love the usage. Man, get Pittman in your fantasy lineups. And then I said DeVonta Parker. I really sneakily like this, assuming his shoulder injury isn't serious. This matchup with Tampa Bay, no one's going to use him in DFS with Jacoby Brissett as his quarterback. But Parker's, you know, an interesting name too here. So, get Pittman in your lineup, so for sure.
Yeah, Pittman going against a Baltimore defense that gives up 14 yards per catch to wide receivers. $17 in Yahoo's single game DFS contest as well. So, yeah, I mean, Pittman, the volume's been there. Him and Wentz have been just this close on a couple of touchdowns too. I know Hayden Winks, our buddy at Underdog Fantasy, tweeted out a video, which I quote tweeted and was too mean to Carson Wentz. And I didn't realize there were still Carson Wentz defenders on the internet, but I had to like just get that take off my timeline, because it's like, get out of here, man. What are we doing here? Carson Wentz is not good anymore, so I don't need to hear about that. Guy's like 25th in EPA per dropback, and he's like pressured on 50% of his dropbacks too. So yeah, tough scene there for Carson Wentz. It's going to be volatile with Michael Pittman, but I think you know that's part of the deal. Devontae Smith is interesting, though. I think Devontae Smith, like, the targets have been there, the air yards have been there. He hasn't been that involved in scoring area usage yet, but like Jalen Hurts, I go back and forth on the Jalen Hurts thing, man. You know, I was just talking to on last week's FFL fantasy community segment with Ray Garvin, and I feel like I was a little too hard on Jalen Hurts about like his progress so far. Like, he obviously demolished a bad defense last week, and his fantasy numbers, Jalen Hurts, are like ridiculous, but I think he's starting to, you know, improve a little bit week by week. And I mean, he's going to have bad games like he did against the Cowboys, where he's just all hollow fantasy yardage. But I do think Devontae Smith is still like a buy low guy, because I think he could be a potential top 30 receiver rest of season.
Hurts, number 3 fantasy QB. I don't know what you want to make of this stat, but I saw Pro Football Reference has him having the lowest bad throw percentage, whatever that means. But he's getting it done in fantasy terms, that's for sure. And Devontae Smith was this an inch away from a bigger day last week. He caught a 50-yard touchdown that he, like, just, I don't know how he did it, but he stepped out of bounds right before it. Like, he wasn't even paying attention to the sideline, and he didn't reestablish himself in before. But he nearly had another 50-yard touchdown to go along with his big game last week. So, yeah, I like Hurts and Smith moving forward. The Eagles are I believe they're number one in neutral pass rate. I mean, they've just totally given up on Miles Sanders. I would personally rather Kenneth Gainwell than Sanders moving forward fantasy. He's getting all the high value touches, and the team's just given up on running the ball. So I kind of like what the Eagles are doing.
Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have, like, they've given up on Miles Sanders. I wish people in fantasy would give up on Miles Sanders. He's, like, unusable at this point. He doesn't get any red zone usage, and he doesn't get any passing game usage. I mean, I don't know how high you can boost up Kenneth Gainwell, but at least the fact, like, that he's getting passing game usage, he should be on rosters everywhere if he's not already. I feel like he's probably boosted up enough to this point. Okay, pick between these three guys for the rest of the season. Marvin Jones, who just got a bump between, you know, because DJ Chark is out, Michael Pittman and Devontae Smith. How would you order those three rest of season?
Smith, Pittman, Marvin Jones. What do you think?
Now, Marvin Jones was tough, though. I mean, Marvin's
already
kind of the guy.
Without Chark. I know. No, I think that's very close. I think that's ranked there. I have him the same tier. I think they have them all ranked within like 5 of each other this week. Actually, I like Pittman this week. He's just due for a blow up. But moving forward, that's a tough. I mean, because they build a better matchup too with Carolina. It's a tougher one for Smith. But what say you, RP?
I think I would go Pittman, Marv, Smith. Marv is tough,
Pittman,
though.
Okay. Okay. All right. Yes. All right. Yeah. Well, you love Smith too, and you're charting too, right? I mean, you're in on him.
I love Pittman too. I love like both those guys. But yeah, Smith, I mean, is a baller, dude. He's so good. And I think, like, by the way, Jalen Reagor, nothing.
Yeah. Not it. Yeah. Yeah.
No, I mean, he's literally doing nothing right now, like over the last few games. I don't know. It's just nothing there.
I can see with Marvin Jones. I mean, they're moving Chenault. They kept him in the slot. Even Tavon Austin, they have starting opposite him there. So, and obviously, that team's going to be playing from behind. So, if Marvin Jones can stay healthy, I mean, with no Chark, I mean, that's a big deal. For sure, he's a boring veteran. You don't want to say, you know, you're asking me about these two other, like, young guys with upside.
I know.
But Marvin Jones is absolutely. Sneaky. Yeah, totally. For sure.
But yeah, I mean, dude, all the Urban Meyer stuff that's been going on in Jacksonville, I still think the most outrageous thing is that they have Tavon Austin as their starting outside number two receiver. Like, nothing Urban Meyer can do is more wild than that. That is ridiculous. The Chenault thing is tough. I gave Chenault a bump, like, with Chark out, and they gave him, like, some downfield looks last week. I didn't even know that was allowed. But if they still pigeonhole him as, like, just a low A-dot slot receiver going forward, I mean, that's tough. Chenault has some room to grow in his game. There's no doubt about that, like, from a refinement standpoint. But, man, I really wish they would let this guy loose a little bit down the field, even if it's from the slot. Like, get him vertical routes from the slot. That is possible. But we'll see. We'll see. All right, let's jump into the Thursday night game, man, because this is exciting. We've waited long enough to talk about it. We've got the Los Angeles Rams traveling to Seattle. These NFC West matchups, Dalton, have shown last week, proved they're going to be electric, right? Like, Seattle and San Francisco was an interesting game. It wasn't quite the competitive back and forth. The Niners were obviously dealing with the Jimmy G injury, Trey Lance getting in there. But the Cardinals and the Rams, even if they were not like back and forth explosive, like these are going to be some electric matchups going forward. This one should be pretty high scoring, 54.5 point total. The Rams are, I think, -2.5 last time I looked, -2.5 point road favorites. So how are you feeling about this one overall?
Yeah, it should be a fun game. I don't feel strong on which side. The Rams defense has taken a major step back. Obviously, Stafford looks fantastic. The Robert Woods situation is frustrating people. So I kind of like Van Jefferson at $13 salary here. But the squeaky wheel could get the grease here, though, with Woods, you know, with McVay even talking about it. But yeah, a lot of stars. There's a lot of ways you could go here. So a lot of some of these Thursday night games were kind of obvious lineups. You could just move back and forth a couple pieces. This you could go many different ways. I love Daryl Henderson at just 23. You have to use him in this matchup. And then Alex Collins at 15 could be interesting with Chris Carson dealing with an injury. And he was just totally disappeared the second half of last week, too. So what were your thoughts on this one?
Yeah, I agree with you that there's a lot of ways you can go with this because there's a pretty good amount of high-priced players. I do think Daryl Henderson is the must, right? Yep. I think Daryl Henderson handled 60% of the team rush attempts last week. He played 61 snaps, just 7 for Sony Michel, like you alluded to earlier. Some of that could be that Michel fumbled early and they were just like, okay, forget it. Throw Daryl back in there. I mean, it's tough with Daryl Henderson, man, because you feel like from a logical standpoint, you feel like they traded for Sony Michel which is the irony in this. They were worried about Daryl Henderson's ability to hold up. Guy gets hurt right away. You think they'd end up splitting the work, but that was just not the case at all. I think he's a great candidate for the superstar spot at $23 against a Seattle team that's just been slashed by the run the first 4 weeks of the season. So love Daryl Henderson there. The Robert Woods thing, there's like no explaining. Like I think this is just like a sort of, you know, stuff happens type of thing with Robert Woods. Like there's no, he's running more routes than Van Jefferson. That was not the case in week one, but it's corrected itself. And I do think the fact that they've got Van Jefferson and Tyler Higbee and DeSean Jackson every now and again, those guys, like the fact these ancillary players are involved, that's going to nip at the heels of a guy like Robert Woods. It's not going to nip at the heels of a Cooper Kupp because he's too good. He's just better. And he's in that great juicy role that I talk about all the time. So I think that's probably the only reason that Robert Woods hasn't popped off yet. But yeah, you're right. Like McVay's out there saying this week, it's on me to get Robert more opportunities. He's a leader, yada, yada. We love Robert. So there is some of that narrative in play there.
See, this, you're just trolling me talking about Seattle. Give me a break. They went the longest stretch of any game in the NFL last season without a first down and ended up blowing out. Trenton Cannon made Kyle Williams look like
tough scene.
Dante Hall last week in that game. But yeah, anyway, tough scene there. There are going to be some fun games in NFC West, including Thursday night. Big over-under on this one, approaching 55 points. Cooper Kupp, very expensive here, rightfully so, remains getting just a target share hog this year. So yeah, I mean, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, how healthy is he? A lot of different ways you could go here.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the biggest question too. I built some lineups for this one and didn't find myself, like, I just wanted to play Stafford and Russ together and like not really try to pick between the Seahawks receivers. You could pick one of them though. I mean, you'd think theoretically, like they've had Jalen Ramsey playing a lot of slot corner this year. The Rams have, and like the pass defense overall has fallen off. Ramsey, I don't think has fallen off at all. So like, but last year they just straight up had Ramsey chase DK around the field, and you know he did some great work against DK Metcalf. Do they do that again? I don't know. I think Lockett's healthy, he's in a good spot this week to have a pretty big blow up game. We know he's capable of those. He was on the injury report coming into last week. I think that's a big part of why he wasn't productive. The whole offense wasn't very productive last week, as you mentioned it. Like, went so long, and they're still kind of playing like middle of the road in terms of pace. But yeah, I don't know. I think this is a pretty good bounce back spot for Lockett. And the DK thing is just like, I think DK's fine the rest of the season. I think he can still be a top 5 fantasy receiver with all the air yards that he's getting. I'm not worried about it, but this matchup does obviously, like, how much of Jalen Ramsey is he going to see is the big question.
Yeah, expect a high scoring game. And Stafford's one of the rare fantasy QBs just locked in who doesn't run, but you're just locked him in, man. Yeah. Just throwing, getting it done. He's looked so, so good with the Rams and that connection with Kupp. So this should be a fun one. And you got any predictions?
I kind of like Seattle and the points in this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. All right. I'll say Rams by a field goal, but that's a tough one. I think it's going to come down to the final. You know, it'll come down to the end there. It should be close.
It should be close, right? Like, I don't know. Seattle's defense just stinks, man. That's the tough part. I don't think their defense is very good. They're like, what, I think like 20, they're 21st in 4-for-4 schedule adjusted points allowed to quarterbacks. They do have a decent amount of pressures, though. But yeah, I think this game, I could also see it going under the total, though, too. That's the problem, is that both these teams like to run the ball. You know, the philosophy of both these head coaches could send it under the total as well. I don't know. It's tough.
But loss of Brandon Staley, you know, who's, you know, people talking coach of the year, you know, they're Rams ranked 20th in defensive DVOA this season. I mean, they were drafted as, you know, the number one or two fantasy D in most leagues.
Yeah, I mean, that's we'd say it every year, and we always try to, I feel like people try to talk themselves out of it. Like, this year's defense will be different, but defense regresses every year. You know, the top defense is never the top defense 2 years in a row at this point in the modern NFL. Like, we all remember how much we loved those Jacksonville defenses with Jalen Ramsey, by the way, and they crumbled quick, hard, and fast. So yeah, I mean, I think that's just kind of, it's not like the Rams are falling apart, but they lost a lot of guys in the offseason in addition to losing Brandon Staley. And, you know, it's like, they're running a little bit. They're not doing quite the same thing with Raheem Morris there.
It's tough to keep a defensive unit, you know, sustainable for year in, year out, especially when you lose some personnel. I mean, to staff too, like their, you know, their coordinator. But you know what? The best, the ideally is you identify the teams like the Panthers, who spent their entire draft 2 years ago on defense, and then they add a couple key players in there, you know, and you sneak with them, like the Niners did a couple years ago too, their defensive line. But you're right, man. It's too tough predicting defense year in, year out. So it's fool's errand trying to draft the first one.
Yeah. All right, man. Well, yeah, it should be a fun game tomorrow. And anything else before we get out of here, Dalton?
No, man, that's all I got for you. Good talking football, Harmon. And yeah, good stuff.
Always, buddy. Appreciate it. That's going to do it for us, but we'll keep the conversation going on Twitter. So make sure you follow me at @MattHarmon_BYB. Follow at @DaltonDelDon for more Bourbon Meyer jokes. If you want fantasy analysis and news updates from the whole team, give a follow to @YahooFantasy. Podcast plug. You don't have enough podcasts in your life, people. I guarantee no one has enough podcasts in their life. Pam Maldonado is now 4-0 with her NFL Survivor picks this season. That's good. I need to check that out because I'm also 4-0 and I want to be 5-0. So check out Yahoo Sportsbook daily on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to find out who she's targeting for this week. Dalton will be back tomorrow with the preview of Sunday's NFL games with Liz Loza. Until then, we are out.